Morning, everybody. This is News Radio 94.9 890 KDXU. It's Wednesday and time for Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care Show. Here's Richard and Kaylee.
Good morning, Andy. This is the only elder care radio program in Southern Utah. We are here to help our seniors, our senior community. There are huge differences in medical care as we age.
The types of medical issues a young person experiences are normally quite different than those of the more mature members of our community. The expected outcomes can be wholly different. And the way medical conditions are treated are much different for us wrinklies than they are for those young whippersnappers.
Wait, were you referring to me too on that one, Richard?
I'm referring to anybody who's willing to accept that.
Okay, I'm not yet.
We will always be bringing the best possible information tailored to your unique position in life. We want to talk today about being your own best medical advocate. We have found, especially this week, we had a story come up, and we want to address that, but it's important for us to always stand up for ourselves as it pertains to our medical
That's right.
Conditions.
And I was reading an article by Martin Downs, and he has a master's in public health, and he says when people take an active role in their care, research shows they fare better in satisfaction and in how well treatment works, while a passive patient is less likely to get well.
Yet patients often don't speak up for themselves when discussing their conditions with their medical professionals.
So he gave an example from a Dr. Paul Hydett, who was a staff physician at DeBakey VA Medical Center. And this doctor learned that lesson that, you know, you really have to listen, because he had a patient present with a cough. It was a 50-year-old construction worker, no serious illnesses in the past, and so the patient said that the cough had been hanging around for about 3 weeks, so he did an exam and diagnosed that he had an upper respiratory infection, effectively a cold. So he recommended some cough syrup, and as the patient was leaving, the patient had kind of a worried look on his face, and so the doctor reached in further and started talking to him, and found out that he had a friend who recently had passed away from lung cancer, and that this friend's lung cancer started with a cough similar to his. So it's important for us to realize that we need to be very expressive with our doctors. We need to talk to them. We need to bring up the things that are bothering us.
Chest x-rays of this gentleman eventually showed that the patient had no tumors, but Hydett was astonished by the differences between what he thought the visit was about and what the real reason for the visit was. He had assumed that the man wanted him to treat his cold, but he really wanted to be assured that he didn't have lung cancer.
This article makes a really interesting point here. He says the ideal doctor-patient relationship is like a meeting of two experts. The doctor comes to the meeting with medical expertise, and the patient is entering with contextual knowledge what these symptoms mean in the broader context of his life and what kind of therapy that broader context is going to support. And it's important, again, that you are part of that diagnosis. Don't just hand it over to the doctor and say, hey, I'm just, you know, asking you for your input.
And it can be tough. I mean, you go to the doctor and you feel like, he's the smart guy. I'm just here and he's going to check up on me. And I noticed another thing happens too, Richard, as you talk about how to talk to a doctor. Oftentimes we have all these questions when we're home. We get to the doctor's office and he says something like, so do you have any questions or concerns? It's like, no.
Right. We absolutely talk about that. We try and help all of our seniors realize that you write those questions down as soon as they are on your mind.
Yeah, good idea.
Because you will forget when you are sitting before your doctor. The conversation might start out with friendly niceties and you move into the x-ray and exam, and the next thing you know, the questions are past you until you get back to your car and you think, oh, I wanted to ask A, B, C, and D, and I forgot to. So write all your questions down while they're on your mind prior to going to your doctor. That's really important. And how do we manage this expert meeting of the minds with our doctors? How do we talk to the doctors, and how do we ask questions?
And so we're going to break this down. It's called the ABCs of how to talk to your doctor. A, ask questions. Okay, that's the important thing. There's another doctor who was interviewed on this. It was Dr. Jessie Grummond, who is the founder of the Center for Advancement of Health. And her own experience as a patient taught her to ask questions. Because if you don't ask, the doctor can't clarify.
Right. Questions like, what does that mean? When something a doctor says goes over your head, don't be too intimidated to ask. In fact, sometimes doctors will use terminology that we believe we understand a little bit, but we're not 100% sure we have a full understanding of why he chose that terminology. If you have any questions in your mind, ask. It's so incredibly important. Things like lesions, we all know what lesions are, but lesions as they relate to cancer have a very different terminology. So even if you think you understand, but you're kind of questioning, ask, ask, ask.
I remember, Kaylee, the first time a doctor told me he was worried about hypertension. I'm like, oh, okay, so he must be talking about stress. I had no idea he was talking about blood pressure.
Right.
No clue, because that wasn't in my regular, everyday terminology.
Exactly. So even when we think we kind of understand, make sure you thoroughly understand. And we'll say it again and again and again in the program. This is exactly why you ask for your plan of care and your narrative, because it explains it in detail so that when you get home and you are sitting relaxed on your couch, no longer in front of the doctor, you have an opportunity to read what his understanding was of your test results, of why he gave you the meds that he did.
And if you've got an existing condition, there is no question that you've been thinking about it, that you've been going through your own thought processes about it, and it's important that you bring those up. Because if you actually present that to the doctor, then the doctor has that opportunity, and this is a quote from the article. He says, it gives the opportunity of the doctor to say, I hadn't really thought of it that way. Maybe that's true. Or to be able to say, well, that bone isn't connected to that bone, so I don't think that's the case. But then you can move on in your thought process, too. You're not stuck in that saying, well, maybe this, maybe this. So it's important that when we bring these two experts together, you, the patient, with your experiences, and the doctor with their knowledge, that we have a complete conversation so that we get all that information out on the table and that everybody can move forward in their understanding.
Right. So A is ask questions. B is be prepared. And we said, you know, write everything down, write your questions down. Remember, the terminology used is doorknob complaints. Avoid doorknob complaints. Those are those complaints that as you're grabbing the door to leave, you go, oh yeah, by the way, I'm having chest pain. At that point, the doctor has no opportunity to investigate the chest pain, to ask further questions, to run any tests, because your appointment's over. So he tells you to make another appointment, and then you're left at home concerned with the chest pains, when really that was one of your big questions in the first place.
Or in that case, if it was chest pains, the doctor would probably say, well, then you need to go to the emergency room.
Right.
So let's get the important things on the table first. Be quick about it, because doctors are very busy. Our medical system is designed to keep them very, very busy.
And remember, a primary care physician can have between 1,700 and 2,000 patients. So while you're very important to him, each individual patient is important to him, he'll forget details. It's up to you to remember your details.
He may be trying to see 8 to 10 patients in the hour that you're there. So you don't have a lot of time. You need to be able to talk to your doctor quickly and organize. So, Andy, as you point out, write those things down.
Write them down.
Yeah, make sure that you have that good list to work from. And then the C part of this is communicate your concerns and desires. Obviously, you need to be able to assert yourself. You need to be able to say to your doctor, these are the things that are concerning me. Not just, well, I've got this symptom or this bump or whatever else, but go into great detail of what is concerning to you so the doctor has that opportunity to relieve that concern or realize that this may be a bigger issue that has to be dealt with than what he or she may first see.
Richard, I had a doctor years ago that was a veteran. He'd been a family practitioner for 40 years, and I'd go in with a complaint to him, and almost always his answer was, oh, you're just getting older. And, you know, to me, it was, I mean, he was a great doctor, otherwise, incredible wealth of experience, but that did not satisfy me as a patient. And I was intimidated to say anything else. Once he said, oh, you're just getting older, I was like, okay, he's dismissed me and there's nothing else I can say.
Absolutely do not be too intimidated to talk to your doctor. That's what he's there for. And, I mean, I hate to say it in these words, but don't just rely on your doctor. Don't just lay everything in his lap and expect him to take care of you. You do have to stand up for yourself and say, Doc, this is still a concern for me. So if it has to do with, well, you're just getting elderly, getting older. What does that mean? Because this is still a concern for me. So put my mind at ease. Never walk out the door without a test that you feel you need. We had a situation when my baby was born 18 years ago where he kept being diagnosed with acid reflux, but something inside of me kept saying, it's not acid reflux. It's not acid reflux. I went to 5 different doctors finally to discover that he had malrotation of the intestine and was literally dying. So we have instincts and intuitions that the doctors don't know about. You need to express those because while he is the studied medical professional, he doesn't know what your intuition is telling you. And you have to express that. They actually teach them in med school to listen to patients' concerns. Make sure that you recognize intuitions and instincts and follow up on them. So if you aren't expressing them, hey, Doc, I have this real concern. This is still a worry for me. He may just dismiss him as older age.
He could do that, or he could just be in the habit of not having to give a lot of information. Because, in truth, many people who are afraid of being assertive with their doctor may be willing to accept, you're just getting older. And if that's the answer that always works for him, that's the answer he always uses.
Well, and let's remember, the doctors are in a unique position of giving you enough information to put your mind at ease, but really not wanting to frighten the life out of you. They don't want you to, you know, have anxiety when you leave either and worry tremendously about the changes that are taking place in your body, because we do also have some natural changes that take place as we age, and anxiety is a killer, a literal killer.
Right. And Andy, your question brings up a good point. We may not get all the information we need out of that conversation with the doctor. So our recommendation is, being your own best medical advocate, always get the write-up from your doctor. That's your plan of care and your doctor's narrative, because he's going to put in the record those things that he thinks are important. One of the problems that I have, you know, in conversations is that, A, I don't remember everything. Nobody does when we're having a conversation. B, I don't always know what the important things are to who remember. And so it's hard for me. In fact, you know, for me, it's... my wife points out how hard it is for me, or brings that to realization, because when I get done with a meeting, whether I'm talking to my doctor or to somebody else, and she starts asking me questions, and I don't have the answers to those questions because those weren't things I recalled, or she starts asking me, did you ask this question, did you ask this question, it's even more telling that I'm not retaining it.
Right. The things that will make you an active advocate for your health care are simple but not easy for everyone to do. The doctor's role as an authority figure is still deeply ingrained in our culture. Do not be intimidated by your doctor, and do not lay all the answers in his lap and trust that he will actively pursue treatments that you want, that are correct for you and where you want to find yourself.
So ask yourself, you know, in your relationship with your doctor, do you just follow doctor's orders, or do you participate in the shared medical decision making? You know, the latter sounds better, but when you're in that room with that paper on the exam table underneath your bare butt, you may not feel that empowered. So.
Well, once that gown goes on, everything's out the window, I think, as far as your brain. Yeah.
That's what we said, write them down.
Yeah, write all that down and just hand it to the doctor and have them, you know, answer those questions one after the other. You might also consider asking your doctor if you can record that. All of us are carrying cell phones. We all have the ability to record a conversation. Just say, do you mind if I record this? I don't think any doctor is going to mind at all that you're getting better information and retaining it.
I don't either, and that is a great idea. Our cell phones do record, and you could record the entire meeting so that another loved one can listen to the meeting later. Maybe a child that lives somewhere else can take that recording and listen to the entire meeting and say, Dad, you forgot to ask this, or Dad, the doctor said this, and I'd like to know this for you. Or maybe they can make that call for you. So recording's a great idea.
And what we're recommending here is a huge change in the way we all deal with medicine. Again, we all have this, doctors know everything, and we just put them on a pedestal, and we just accept what they are willing to give us, thankfully, and we're suggesting that we change that a little bit. Again, there's no doctor that's going to be offended by that.
Right, and I would say change it a lot, because I think the one thing that we've really, really consistently come across is that patients' care and goals are so often different than what the doctor believes your treatment choices and goals are. And it's just surprising to me how often that comes up. But what are some other reasons to be your best medical advocate? One of our seniors recently found himself, and this was just this last week, found himself in a physical crisis when he woke up one morning. He felt extremely overwhelmed, and his arm was numb and tingly. His caregiver ran him to the emergency room, where the doctors immediately attended to him. After several tests and about 8 hours, the hospital gave him 3 prescriptions and told him to follow up with his primary care physician in about 2 weeks.
And here's what we discovered shortly after his trip to the ER. Although he gave the hospital the name of his primary care physician, the hospital did not call the physician. And they don't. Hospitals do what they do, and it's up to you to notify your doctor. And you may believe that the hospital tends to finish all that paperwork, but they are busy doing the part that they do, and they don't necessarily reach out to the doctor again. So that was issue one. But the other is that they don't have any of that medical history. When you run into the emergency room, they're dealing with what they are presented, and that was just somebody who's, you know, claiming a medical emergency, and they dealt with it, but they didn't know what his history was.
Right. The hospital didn't have a total list of all the drugs he was currently taking. They only had those that the patient could at the time remember that he was on. One of the prescriptions specifically stated that it should not be taken with ibuprofen, yet the dosing instructed him to take it in the morning with his breakfast. This corresponded with another drug that was previously prescribed by another specialist that had a negative interaction and warning on it.
And one of the prescriptions had opposite properties to another drug he had already been taking. So that counteracted both of those drugs. And this could be a potential medical emergency. We could create, you know, all kinds of problems if we don't know that those drugs are tied together. And with the new prescriptions, his daily drug list totaled 24 different drugs, and 5 of them were pain medications.
Right. Red flags just kept popping up. We immediately recommended that he go to his primary care physician and have all his meds reviewed. He was surprised to find that his doctor didn't already have a current and complete med list. He assumed that they were corresponding with the other specialists that his primary care physician had referred him to. He was surprised to find that the hospital didn't notify his doctor of his ER visit that was just within that same week. We also told him to take that entire list to each of his specialists so that they could assess what he was already taking and collaborate with his primary care doctor or make different recommendations that would better address the issues that they were dealing with.
So it's important your care be tailored to your specific situation and your best care. So how can you be your own medical advocate? Like we said before, get each of your doctor's plans of care. If you have 4 specialists, ask them all for their plan of care, ask them for their narratives, ask them for the prescriptions that they've written, and then take all of that information and start going to each of your doctors. Start with your primary care doctor. Lay out all the goals that are there, all of the determinations that were done by these specialists.
Let's kind of explain what we mean by goals. In this day and age, we have different, you know, we're very diverse as a community, as a nation, as a people. So some might really prefer more of a holistic approach or a natural approach to medicines, while others are, you know, 100% Western medicine. So you need to portray to your doctor, and doctors are very open-minded about that. They understand that we are very different. So make sure that when we say goals, we're talking about how you prefer your treatment to your treatment plan to be prescribed.
Or, depending on your diagnosis, what your hope is that's going to come from that. Because there are diagnoses that we don't overcome. So where do you want to be in that path? And again, we can go into great detail on that. We'll talk about that on another show as to all these different diagnoses and what they really mean and whether we can get a cure or whether we can just deal with the symptoms.
Right, but just kind of a quick cancer. Do you still want to continue with radiation and chemotherapy? It is going to be offered, but you should probably know what the benefit or the expected outcome is before you opt into that. If it's dialysis, you should know if there's an expectation of a long-term beneficial effect, or are you just suffering with the same expected outcome? Those are the questions that you should ask, and those are the goals that we're talking about and treatment plan that we're talking about.
Right. So our recommendation, and again, if you have any questions about this, if you aren't sure where to start, give us a call. Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care, telephone number 435-477-6999, and we'll help you walk through this. But the important thing is that we ask for our plan of care from every one of our physicians. We ask for their narratives, because that's going to lay out what the doctor's perception of this circumstance is and what his goals are for you. And then you can determine whether his goals are in line with yours.
Well, I was just going to say, and again, if you have any questions or need some direction, or, you know, this has brought up any concerns for you at all, feel free to give us a call. Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care, 435-477-6999.
So, plan of care, narrative, get a list of all the prescriptions your doctors have on their prescription list. You may find that you've got prescriptions that they didn't realize you were still taking.
Like the five pain meds.
Right. So then you bring that all together. Yeah, and that's a good example. You may have two different specialists that are trying to help you deal with pain, and they may not realize that your primary care physician and one of the other specialists has already given you prescriptions for painkillers.
And that is potentially dangerous.
That is very dangerous. So get all of that together, and then start talking to each of your physicians. We'd recommend talking to your primary care physician first. Just take all that to them and say, look, these are the drugs I'm on. Is this all appropriate? How do we adjust? And start having that conversation. If you take all that to your doctor, then he'll know what the other doctor's plans are, and he'll be able to better plan for you. And then go to each of your specialists, because they may find that there are things that they could do different when they know that you're dealing with other issues. If you've got some kidney issues or liver issues, then maybe they want to adjust the drugs that they're using that aren't going to affect your kidneys or livers as much. So those are the types of decisions that you can't make on your own, that your doctors may not be aware of, that we want you to. We want you to be your own best medical advocate.
And your goal for this week is make sure that your med list with your primary care physician and your specialist is complete and current. That's your plan for this week.
Yes. And we really appreciate this opportunity to bring information to the community so that everybody can live a better life. We want everybody to have the best life possible, and that's the focus that we have when we provide hospice and palliative care.
And we're simply here to help. Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care, 435-477-6999.